Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Proud of you.
Thank you. So welcome to the Shift Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Jess Feeney, for any of the listeners.
It's me.
Yeah, Catholic, Irish Catholic.
Yeah, both very loosely.
I
wouldn't get too hung up on those two things.
So is every Irish. That makes you more Irish, actually.
That also makes me Catholic. Yeah, that makes me more Catholic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right.
How far back do your family go to Ireland?
Oh, gee. I want to say five generations. We've been here for quite some time. I have one aunt who's like the historian of the family, so I guess I just don't know much, because I know if I ever need to know, I'll just be like, Aunt Jenny, when did this happen?
Do you know where in Ireland?
I have no idea.
It's funny you could
Irish, or at least Irish American.
Like, it's so many Irish Americans you meet will know a lot and be really involved in the culture.
Yeah.
So much so that I'm like, Jesus, I feel bad. I need to go back to my roots. But then we were in this place outside Philly, but a lot of them all said Cork. And then this guy came up to me afterwards and was talking to me and was like, oh, everybody says Cork just because there was a, what's it called? That was where the boat was.
Mm-hmm.
So most people would have just had Cork on their forms. So most of these Irish Americans think they come from Cork, but probably come from different parts of the country. And it's just that Cork was stamped on the forms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting.
Well, yeah, my Irish history was not really very impressed upon me. We were pretty American by the time
you'll assimilate.
I was, yeah, exactly. By the time
Feeny's,
I was growing up.
Feeny's Irish.
Extremely Irish. Yeah. Almost comically so. It's a very silly name.
Yeah.
I had a lot of nicknames back in the day.
What were your nicknames?
Oh boy. The Fiend Machine was a big one.
Oh, that's fun.
Shout out to Bert Kreischer. I also had Fiend Dog, which I think Mike Feeney also had.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard someone call him Fiend Dog, and I was like, well, but
yeah, that's my name.
I'm Fiend Dog. But I guess we're all Fiend Dog.
Yeah.
A lot of mean rhymes. Feeny Weeny was a big one.
Oh.
Feeny Bikini was
that's fun.
That was a sexier one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fiendmeister. It's an endless list. Feeny provides hours of fun.
Yeah, I was Boyle Sports, because there's a gambling agency called Boyle Sports, and hey, some free promotion.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I was worried that it was going to be a rhyme for spoil sport.
No.
Which I do not know you to be.
No. But, yeah, maybe when I'm, not being chill and doing cat and mean with everybody.
Yeah. I feel like you could also be pretty mean with Boyle, which I'm so happy to hear.
Oh, yeah, a Boyle. Yeah, but Boyle. That was just, when you're kids. Yeah, yeah, that was definitely around. Or Boyle the Kettle, which is, fun. And,
oh, yeah, that's fun.
Boiler. Boiler was one as well.
What's Boiler?
Just, because in Ireland, they'll just take your last name and put an E-R at the end of it. If you're Doyle, Doyler. I can't think of any else right now, what are their nicknames? People take a lot of their last name and just put something on it, and that's your name.
Yeah. I had Feenster.
Feenster, yeah, that's Feenster. Fun. That's
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
What I wanted to talk to you about obviously you identify as bisexual.
I do.
When did you figure that out? What was the moment?
I can say definitively, because the summer that I was 15, it must have been the first time I kissed a girl. It was officially the first time I kissed a girl. First time I lost my virginity.
To a girl?
No.
Oh, to a boy.
Actually, both.
Oh, at the same time?
No. But also...
A Feeny bikini.
But also, oh my God, now that you're saying it, I did have my first threesome that year also with the guy that I lost my virginity to and the girl that I lost my girl virginity to.
Wow, and then you guys were like, let's bring this together.
Let's bring it on home.
That's so much fun.
What's funny too is that like I've attempted threesomes like later on in life and they almost never work out. Mm-hmm. But this was like just a lovely, like it was like good communication.
Yeah, yeah.
These three little 15-year-old kids in a bed.
That's very not
just
Irish.
Just knocking around. I don't know. There's like so many stories from that time that like I'll retell them and be like, damn, did that really happen? Like, was that really my life? But yeah, I was very sheltered. And like I was that kid that would like yell at my friends for smoking weed. I'm like, it's bad for you. And then for some reason, 15, I just snapped out of it. And I was like, I'm going to do everything. But I think I have a joke about this where I say like, and it never gets a laugh and I wish it would because it's so funny to me. But I say like, I always knew that I liked girls. I just didn't always know that that was gay. That and I funny. Think a lot of bisexuals have that experience because it's like, yeah, of course I like it. Who doesn't like kissing girls?
Yeah,
they're so pretty. But I'm not gay. And like they're like, people be like, well, do you like, would you like have sex with a girl? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not, you know? And they're like, well, like, you have feelings for a girl? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, that's gay. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that is gay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I had a very, very dear friend, the girl I was talking about, who was very comfortable with like her bisexuality, about like sex and like all that stuff, and she kind of welcomed me into the fold.
Yeah.
In a couple ways. You know what I mean? I was lucky to have that very, very bad influence to kind of give me a tour of like gayness and sex and drugs and everything.
And when did you realize that you're like, okay, I am bisexual? I know that you're saying that people are like, oh, that's gay. But what age was that?
I think that was 15.
Okay.
Because I remember having feelings for girls before that. And the first time that I literally kissed a girl, this is so funny looking back, I was in the second grade. And I remember we were standing in line for like a bathroom break. And it was me and another kid and this girl, Tyler. Her name was Tyler. So gay. I bet she's gay now. I bet you anything. Maybe I'm just hoping. But there was this girl, Tyler, and I always would just, like, stare at her. She was so pretty to me, and I would just always, like, stare at her. And I remember being in line and just, like, looking at this girl, like, I want... But, like, you know, I was 8. Like, I didn't know what it was. Like, I would never have even... And, like, being raised very religious, like, I would have never even thought to, like, put a name to that feeling. But I was standing there, and before I even knew what was happening, I passed the kid in front of me and, like, did, like, a little pivot move and just kissed her. Which, don't do that.
On the cheek.
Ask on the cheek. Yeah. Always ask first, but, you know, I didn't know. And I don't know what moved me to do this, but I just, like, I was just, like, so in love. And I just, like, kissed this girl because I didn't know what to do with, like, my feelings and, like, my body. And I remember instantly being, like, and like, why did I do that? And just like kind of shrinking, and like every kid in my class was like, ew, Jessica kissed Tyler, ew. So that's probably why I didn't explore those feelings for a really long time. But I think at 15, I had a friend that kind of just like was like, no, you're gay, it's okay, you can be bisexual, it's fine.
And with I really think that you should stalk Tyler on all the grams, all the social medias, and find out. God. That might have been her reckoning as well.
Yeah.
She would have been like, I liked this.
Yeah. Hopefully I can inspire others. I don't know. I don't know how I would even begin to like find her. I just know that it's a woman named Tyler. That does narrow it down somewhat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
And so then it was 15, and then how you were then like, okay, I'm bisexual. You would figured out that word, because I mean, like, I feel like when I was growing up, I was still like learning the definitions of all of those, like, pretty late.
Yeah, again, I just had this friend who was like, she just I don't know, she was just so just like sexually advanced at a very young age.
At 15. What were her parents like?
I mean, they let her get away with murder. Like, yeah. she was a bad kid. Oh. That's why I loved her so much, because we would just be, like, bad together. Yeah, like, she would always, like, find cigarettes somewhere, or, like, she would find, like, the only booze in the house and be like, let's drink this. And, like, I don't know.
That was me.
She would find
the booze and the cigarettes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, but I just didn't do drugs. But I was, like, a big booze hound.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I smoked weed was with her, and I just remember having like a really fun summer. But yeah, her parents, very loving, maybe over loving to a certain extent, because they just let her get away with murder. Yeah. But I mean, I haven't talked to her in a long time. I hope she's doing okay.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it sounds like she was a good maybe not the best for drugs.
Terrible influence.
But good for your sexuality.
Good for my sexuality, yes. And honestly, really good for just, like my mental well-being, really. Yeah. Because you kind of need someone. I mean, you know, up until that point, I was getting a lot of subtle messages that, like, you know, if you have sex with boys, you're bad. And, you know, if you have sex with girls, you're really bad. And if you do all this other stuff, you're bad, bad. And I'm like, I needed someone to be like, no, this is just part of life sometimes.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Let's go get fucked up.
It's such like a coming of age movie.
Yeah, this should be a movie. Was. It really was.
This would be such a fun movie.
This is another crazy thing. The guy that I lost my virginity to, I just met him that night. And it was like not even like a...
Oh, then how did it end up being a threesome? You guys stayed friends afterwards?
No, we dated for a little while.
Oh, you dated him?
Yeah.
Oh, so you went one night stand to dating.
Mm-hmm.
I love this.
Yeah, again, so advanced.
You guys are like Sex in the City, but teens.
Yeah, but I was like, it was just one of those things where like I decided that I wanted to do it and I just decided to do it. Like we were out with these guys and like she was kind of hooking up with the one guy and the other guy was like kind of feeling me and she was like, you should have sex with him. And I was like, yeah? I was like, I can do that? She's like, yeah. Go have sex with him. Wow. I was like, I've never... She's like, yeah, go lose your virginity. I was like, all right, yeah.
And did you know about, like, condoms and everything? Because I feel like that was something we didn't... We really risked a lot when we were teens.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't use condoms for my first sexual experience.
Like a hair on my lip. I got it. Okay.
It's probably because the cat is been... I've been trying not to get distracted, but he was, like, sniffing the hell out of your bag. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's probably smelling your cat.
My cat likes to sleep in my bag. It makes sense. This is his domain. Not complaining. yeah, what were you saying?
What was I saying? What did I say? So, I really wish they were like on the other call sometimes.
Right. Well, so what happened was like...
Oh, condoms. Because
we didn't use
condoms the first time. I didn't for the first while.
No.
It's very risky.
Very
risky. It's your most fertile probably as well. I don't know, but I feel like 15 is probably very fucking fertile.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like we knew about pull out.
Yeah. We knew about pull out too. Yeah.
And I think, I don't know. I don't know. How do you explain... Well, I was going to say, how do you explain to a 15-year-old that, like, you can still get pregnant even if, you know.
But that's the age where you think you're invincible.
Yeah, exactly.
You think nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, it turns out I was right.
Nothing
ever happened, kids.
No. I didn't get pregnant, but let's see. I might also have an issue with that one day. Maybe that's why.
Right. But now I'm, like, horrified. Like, looking back, I'm like, oh, my God, I was 15.
Yeah.
Like, that's so young. And just, like, looking back at all the stuff that I did, I'm like,
yeah,
girl.
That was the only guy was my first boyfriend that I didn't use condoms with, though. I don't know what gave me the fear after. And then I was always, that's a lie, because with my boyfriend in Ireland, my long-term boyfriend, we didn't use condoms, but we were, like, in a long-term relationship. But coming over here, I always made the guys wear condoms, unless, as the listeners know, one sneaky guy snuck it off without telling me. But, sneaky bastard.
Oh, my God.
I know, but other than that, I was really afraid over here with STDs and stuff like that. I think maybe just I got, like, a bit educated, or also, like, I don't know... This person, like, when you're from a small town, I guess, and then if you're in a relationship, you're like, at least I can go home and be like, well, you gave me this disease.
I was just gonna say, when you're from a small town, like, everybody's the same, like, group of like 10-15 people is all having sex with each other
at some point,
I guess it's like kind of safer, but it's also like, if you give me crabs, dude, like, I'm gonna know
and tell everybody,
and I'm gonna embarrass you in front of everyone at the bar on Friday where we're all gonna be, because it's the one bar in town.
Exactly. You know, where were you from again? In Virginia, was it?
Woodbridge, Virginia, which is like a 20-minute ride from DC.
Okay.
Very small town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Virginia once and it was very like the shticks, you know, is that?
Yeah.
But then we went to like a waterfall and there was like Hercules men. Like there was all these like really ripped country hot men. I was like, what the hell is, what's going on with Virginia?
Oh my God, dude. Those guys are so hot in like the weirdest way. You're like, you're very sexy, but I don't want to hear you talk for too long because something's going to come out.
Yeah, you're ripped because you're like,
I'm not going to like
working the fields.
Yeah. Those boys can be trouble.
Okay,
watch out for the scraggly beards. Those are the worst ones.
So you ended up dating this guy. Then you guys, how did the threesome come up? And how were you comfortable? Were you kind of like, oh, well, it's my friend. There was no fear of jealousy. This is just such a progressive sexual awakening.
You know, not even, because I should also add that this girl kind of bullied me a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking when you said that she was like, you should go have sex. And you were and I was thinking, well, in the movie, this does turn out to be a little toxic, mate. But then I was like, I don't know if that's real life, but it seems a bit like she's like, I'm the cool one. You do this.
Yeah. There's a reason why we don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there was always that like, do it kind of thing. Like, oh, if you don't do this, you're lame. And I'm just like, I love you. Please let me still be your friend. So I think I might have just been doing it to like impress her in a way.
That's why I had my first cigarette, because it was one of my older cousins I wanted to impress, and I made out with her friend, and she was like, you should, and I was like, okay, and you should drink this, all this booze, and I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, same with her. Yeah. A lot of firsts with this nice lady.
So then you had the threesome, but you just keep dating the guy?
Yeah.
Wow. I've never had a threesome. I wouldn't even know where to go. I'd like, does everybody want tea?
Yeah.
I'll go make the tea while you're sex.
I've been in, so I think I've had two successful threesomes and a smattering of unsuccessful ones that I don't even know if I can call them threesomes, because nothing ended up happening, because, you know, you always want to... Like, I've had couples trying to, like, rope me in, right?
Yeah.
And you always want to trust that they've, like, thoroughly communicated and, like, both parties are okay with it. But more often than not, the girl is not okay with it. And it's just something that the guy has, like, pressured her into doing, which I feel bad. But then here I am, like, you know, just sitting there in my jeans with like my tits out, and I'm just like, are you guys done? Should I go?
This also has to be in your movie. Life of Jess.
Yeah, like at one
it's
point
a great movie.
Yeah, like my two friends that were in a couple, and like the girl got upset, and they're like, you know, yelling at each other, and I'm just kind of sitting there like a kid waiting to go to the principal's office. Yeah. And at one point she turns to me and she's like, I'm sorry, this sucks, right? Sorry. And then like they keep arguing, and I'm like, it's okay. It just felt bad.
You go downstairs, put on a movie.
But I'm like in like various degrees of undress, just like, should I put my shirt back on at least, right? This is probably the time. These probably shouldn't be out anymore. This does not feel like a good time.
Oh my God, that's not sexy.
Not sexy, No, because then you're just like, you've just become like the problem, which is not fun.
Yeah, I think if you're any level of jealousy, or which is totally fine. I wish people sometimes just admit, like, I could never, I don't think, unless we're together forever, me and Leland, and we get bored, I guess, it'd be an excuse for me to find something to argue about, because, you know, it'd be like, well, you licked her nipple for way longer than you licked, like, you know, I just know, feel uncomfortable.
That's always what it ends up being, and it's like, how do we qualify, you know, like...
Yeah, because the guy has to be like, oh my God, you're gorgeous, but not as gorgeous as my wife, but you're still, you know, it's like a weird thing to navigate, but yeah, you just have to be really, like, able to compartmentalize sex stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, man, I don't think I would ever do it again. The second time made sense because, oh, and this is a fun one. It was with my girlfriend at the time and her husband.
Wait, oh, so you were in a relationship with the wife?
Yes.
Oh, so this is like a polyamorous.
Yeah.
And then she was like, let's bring these two worlds together.
Yes. Wow. They had been polyamorous for a really long time, and then they got married and I think stopped because they were just kind of like done with that phase in their relationship. However, she and I had been friends since like high school.
Oh, you mean as in a friend? I thought you meant she was girlfriend.
No, she was my girlfriend.
Okay.
Eventually, I got there.
Yeah.
No, but I was like in love with this girl all throughout high school, and like it was always like a will they, won't they kind of thing. But, like, we never really, like, got there. And then we ended up staying friends, and she moved to New Jersey for work, and I was living in New York, and we started hanging out, and, you know, one thing led to another. So I think officially they were not polyamorous at the time, but because, like, the three of us were already so close.
Yeah.
And, like, she and I just loved each other. Like, we had always loved each other, you know, that he was okay with it.
Yeah.
And they'd had practice with polyamory. So, like, they already knew the drill. They knew what was okay. They're, you know, very, very careful with, like, consent and, like, communication. And, you know, sometimes the three of us would hang out and he would be like, do you guys want to be alone? I can.
Aww.
Yeah. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It didn't last very long.
Okay.
Very fraught. But yeah, that was probably.
And you guys had a threesome and that didn't work out. Or that was a good threesome.
That was a good threesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We were, this is really gross. We were at the beach all day, I remember. And then we came back to my place and ended up having sex. And I got a raging bacterial infection.
Jesus.
I guess, so don't have sex after the beach, I guess, with multiple people.
Yeah.
Because I was like, so now the memory is kind of soured because I'm like, it fucked me up for like a month. Probably not the best idea. But it was fun.
Yeah, I find like the first time, like, that was the other reason why I hate not using condoms is because, you know, it takes a second for your vagina to match up with a guy's dick. Like,
what?
pH level sometimes. Well, me personally.
Is this real?
Me, definitely.
Your pussy specifically.
She hates all penis and will get an infection.
She's got a...
and it takes... Well,
she will react on a chemical level.
Yeah. She's like, warning.
No. Yeah.
But, like, it'll help if, like, the guy, like, washes his dick before or something.
Yeah,
but...
I've been a fan.
Yeah. Because I guess if they're sweaty... I don't know, but yeah.
Ew.
It's easy. It's really... Like, I've had a bunch of friends who, once they started having unprotected sex with their partners, got like BV or bacterial infection.
The worst.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it makes you feel so bad about yourself.
It's so sore.
I never got sore, but it was just
icky.
Not even like I don't know. I don't want to go like too deep in the detail. It was just a very different vagina. Let's. It was not my friend the vagina that I had come to know over the years. It was just behaving very differently than I was used to, and it was just a bummer.
How have you found with, like, you know, so, like, let's say if there's, I one time saw this TikTok about a girl saying, like, it's kind of hard being bisexual when it comes to, like, the groups, because, like, straight people will be like, you're just gay, but you're not gay yet. Or then gay women will be like, you're not really part of this group because you're still dating men. And was that hard to navigate?
Well, it's hard to navigate, but I think, I mean, the you're not really straight or like you're not really gay is like silly. I do empathize with lesbians because I understand that a lot of lesbians have, you know, terrible experiences with bisexual women who, like, because it's tough, because, you know, bisexual, like, sex is in the word, right? It means like you like to have sex with you know, people of different genders, but bisexual is not necessarily biromantic.
Biromantic.
Yeah.
This is a word I've never heard before.
Yeah.
That's a great way to describe that. Yeah. So maybe you just want to have sex with women, but you might not want to. Because I remember one time hearing someone say, like, oh, you're not really bisexual if you don't have a relationship with a woman. But I guess more that would be biromantic.
Yeah. And I am biromantic, but a lot of bisexual women aren't, which is totally fine. But I think that a lot of bisexual women feel as though they have to be biromantic to be, like, valid in their bisexuality. So they try to date women, and then these women that they try to date will inevitably get their hearts broken because this person didn't end up, you know, to be able to, like, reciprocate intimate feelings or, like, actually be a partner. So I understand why lesbians kind of have it out for us, because we can be very... fickle. Imagine that, bisexual women being, you know, fickle in our sexuality. But I get it. But I think we can all play together. Another thing is, like I say I'm bisexual, but, like, I don't know that I really even believe that that's a thing. Yeah. I don't know if I believe that any of this is a thing.
You think it's just all fluid?
Yeah, I think so.
That's kind of like, a little bit what, like, V was feeling with her journey.
Yeah.
That it kind of changed as she
went through life.
Yeah, I don't think anyone who's really being honest with themselves is, well, let me not say this.
You're going to say fully straight?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think.
Or even fully gay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know, though.
Everyone's got an exception.
Even when I talk about, like, anything woman sexing, Oscar is like, ew, ew, ew. Yeah, so yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, my really gay friends.
but I have, like, so many, like, gay friends that would be like, but if it was Beyonce, I'm like, okay,
oh,
well.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, nobody's, yeah. They'll be like, nobody's that gay. Like,
yeah.
I think we all have an exception.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
That's why it's, like, it's so annoying that, like, you know, I feel like I'm going to, like, sound like I'm bashing the gay community, but it's, like, we keep, you know, adding provisions and letters and all these things. And I'm like, can we just have, like, can we just do this for, like, straight people? Like, maybe they can be the community and then we can all be normal? Because I think that's what it is. I think
if you're straight, that's, like, that's...
And then everyone else who's normal, like, yeah, and being so honest, you know what I mean?
That's not bashing at all. That's, like, actually very interesting. I think that's a funny, that's a, like, yeah. a fun... concept, because yeah, most people I know aren't fully straight.
Yeah, and like when I have so many like female friends who I just always assume that all my female friends are bisexual.
Yeah.
So when one of them was like, "Yeah, I'm straight," unfortunately, I'm like, "What?
Yeah.
No. How? Yeah. When?
I think that
why?
Biromantic is a really good one to learn, because I definitely, like, I'm attracted to some women and I think about them when I, like, masturbate and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Sorry for oversharing. They're like, all the listeners are like, oh, you're sorry now after 5 years of oversharing. but I just can't imagine dating a woman. So it's just because, yeah, like my, you know, I actually like my girlfriends as friends, you know, and I don't even think I would even want to. But even my guy friends, as soon as someone becomes a friend, they're only a friend because I don't see them like in an attractive level, if that makes sense. Because I hate mixing those worlds. So maybe I just haven't. Well, if I were single, because I want to be with Leland forever. Maybe if I met a woman outside that wasn't in like a friend, maybe that'd be different. There was one woman here who we like hit it off at a bar and stuff, but I just didn't follow through with the sex part and stuff. Just the kissing.
I bet you could. I have so many friends, like, really close. Like, my sister, even, who is, like, she's super God Squad. Like, she's still, like, in the church very much so. And, like, you know, every time I call her, she's like, do you want to pray with me? And, like, she's total sweetheart. God. And I never would have thought. But, like, she's had some forays into the world. And, like, I remember when she told me, I was like, I'm so fucking proud of you. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't imagine being in a relationship with a woman. But then again, who knows? Like, if Leland didn't exist, maybe as you grow, things change, you know, and you become more, like, you just have less shame because you're like, I'm too old to have shame anymore. You're just like, and I, not that there would be anything shameful about that, but I do think there's stuff instilled when you're younger where you're like, oh, you should be with a man or you should do this. Like, everything, me doing this podcast was all... I wouldn't have done that in Ireland if I were still living that life. I wouldn't be talking about this stuff.
What I've noticed is that, like, it is kind of fun. And I think this is part of why I typically end up with men. Because, like, you've seen the male-female dynamic so much. You know? You already know how to kind of play it.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to be a woman dating a man because you know, like, what everybody's supposed to do. And, like, it shouldn't be that way, but we're so used to it. That's why I get so upset when people are saying, like, oh, they're shoving gayness down our throats. I'm like, by acknowledging that it exists, by showing it sometimes, I'm like, how do you not think that we're shoving straightness down little kids' throats?
Yeah,
like,
constantly.
Every single movie that they see, every romantic relationship is straight. Like, how is that not shoving it down their throats? But I know that even when I've been in relationships with women, I'll kind of have a thing where I'm like, okay, I'll be the boy. Someone's got to be the boy, right? Because then other ones are like, then what do we do? You know?
That's so funny. I guess you have to fit into, like, roles or... Yeah, it's hard. That's hard.
Yeah, and I, like, you know, if I'm with a woman, I want to, like... I get protective. Or, like, I want to protect her. But when I'm with a man, I'm like...
yeah,
protect me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like it's fun because none of it's real, you know, yeah. Like it's all just how we behave and like how we relate to the world. Like men and women, it's not really a real, it's something that we made up, but yeah. We're just so attached to those labels that it's tough to like know how to like play out a yeah. relationship without those guidelines.
Yeah. I feel like for my relationship with Leland is the first one where it doesn't feel like super gender rolled.
What is that like?
It's great. Like, cause like, and I mean, like, I'm talking real basic shit here when I say that, but yeah. I mean, as in, like, you know, he's like able to talk about his feelings and be emotional if he wants, and I'm not ew. And
oh,
you know,
yeah.
And then like he does dishes or laundry or you know, but still like will make me breakfast. You know what I mean? It's not like he's just like. There's no, or like we both clean or we both, I remember one time my ex in Ireland, like getting upset once because I was so busy and I was in college full time and work full time. And he was like, you know, when we first started dating, you'd make me these nice sandwiches. You never make me a sandwich anymore. And he was just like, he'd gone from his mother's house to my house. And it was like, I can't be your mother. But sometimes I think certain guys think that's the role of the girlfriend is going to play.
Yeah, I think I kind of, if I'm with someone who I know, like, appreciates it and doesn't take it for granted, I kind of, again, I feel like I'm just betraying the gay community or just, like, the liberal community. But, like, I do, if it's appreciated, I don't mind being the cook in the household. Yeah. And I don't mind, I don't know, like, what are some other examples? It's not like I'm the only one who, like, everyone cleans.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays, most guys, I guess, because it's different. They're not, like... out on the farm, like if I'm thinking about like rural Ireland and they're out on the farm all day and the woman, it was just, you know, she would just clean and have the dinner ready. And I guess as well, that was just necessity. But now like women are like, actually, I'm getting educated. I'm working too. And I don't know how it works for the rural guys, but guys here in the city, they're not out herding cattle. They're like, okay, we're both working equally. It would be kind of crazy to come home and then expect us to like clean or do everything. So I feel like this generation of guys are like, yeah, it's like fine. I'd rather just, I think so for the most part.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of fun to like do both. I don't know. I feel like my boyfriend now, we just kind of like, we switch. Like I'm mostly the girl and he's mostly the guy.
Yeah.
But like sometimes it's fun, you know, like for him to make dinner and like, I don't know.
Leland does nearly all of the cooking.
Really?
Yeah. But he's just better at it and he enjoys it.
Yeah, I just have more experience cooking. So, like, I'm more than happy to do it most of the time because I'm better at it.
Yeah.
But it's like, fun to switch sometimes. Yeah. No one wants to feel like they're kind of, like, pitted into any, like, specific role.
Yeah, no, Leland's definitely pitted in. No. I just not good at cooking.
Yeah.
If I had more free time, but I would just live off sandwiches. So sometimes he's like... I'm going to make like a big thing for a few days or like soups and stuff, which is great. So thank God he likes it or we'd be eating sandwiches the whole time.
Yeah, I have some enchiladas in the freezer right now, which I was so proud of myself that I made a ton of food and put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Like for later, I felt like such a big girl.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Very excited.
Let me check. Okay, so we still have some time left. There was another question I wanted to ask you. Oh yeah, wait, so you grew up Catholic.
Okay. Here's what happened.
Or religious?
Religious. More, I think I had, like, so my mom was Catholic, and she would bring us to Mass sometimes, but, like, I didn't get confirmed. So I couldn't.
Were you Christian?
My dad was, like, evangelical.
Whoa, he spoke tongues?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny that you know about. I guess I just like don't feel like other people know about stuff.
I think
like
I know about it from Law and Order.
Dude, it's creepy. I mean, like, I don't really like shit on religion or even Christian. Like, I still identify as a Christian, but like there's a big difference between being a Christian and being evangelical or even being a Catholic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things about Catholic Mass and, you know, going to a not evangelical so much, but like any kind of like Protestant, like non-denominational church service, like a lot of the stuff that goes on is like very beautiful and like powerful. And like, if you get something from it, that's great. But it like evangelical churches, like it's a cult. Like it just is a cult. It's the biggest cult in America. And it's,
Why do they speak in tongues again? I know this, but I didn't know why.
There's a thing that happens during Mass where, like, either, like, during, like, a song or during the sermon where if you do something known as catching the spirit, mm-hmm. which basically means, like, the Holy Spirit enters your body and you kind of lose control. So people will cry, people will roll around on the floor, people will, like, take their shoes off and just run around, or they'll speak in tongues. It's basically just like, I think some people say that it's like your private language with God, but basically it's just kind of like the thing of just like losing control of your body and like letting the Holy Spirit in, and just kind of like an ego death, which is like kind of cool.
Yeah.
If there weren't so much like hate behind like a lot of Christian churches, again, mainly evangelical, then...
Because they hate, like, LGBTQ and all that,
yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah. And kind of everybody. See, the thing is, like, evangelicalism isn't really Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what Christ would have wanted.
Yeah.
You know, it saddens me so much that people can read the Bible and, like, specifically, like, the teachings of Christ and go, oh, well, I need to hate people. I'm like, that's what you got from this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
In a dress and sandals, hanging out with hookers and bums and
yeah,
saying
and
we all need
guys.
To, like... Yeah.
Or
and
like 11 guys, I guess.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah.
But it just, like, it just baffles me. And those people, like, consider themselves to be, like, the closest to God.
Yeah.
And to have the deepest understanding of the text. I'm like, you're not reading the text. And there's a lot of like crazy stuff in the text, but I like to mainly focus, you know, as someone who identifies as Christian, I basically, what I mean is that I try to follow like the teachings of Christ as closely as possible, which is just, you know, loving your neighbor and, you know, being a pacifist when you can, and trying to, you know, love your enemies and like understand people on a DNA.
Be good and all that.
Be good, have forgiveness, you know, like things like that. And just, and I think you can follow, you know, there's similar tenets in a lot of different ideologies. That's just the one that I grew up with and the one that I know the best, which is why I, you know, I relate it to Christ. But like, there's a lot of different ways to just be like a good person and to like exercise forgiveness and, you know, exercise empathy and not hating poor people or sex workers or queer people or anyone who's not rich and white. You know, it's just so crazy to me that like that's what they got from it.
Yeah No, absolutely. I mean, all like you said,
from
all
a brown guy,
like yeah.
The everything says that this is wrong. It's just so crazy to me.
Like you said, with all the religions, it's if you look at it nicely, it's just a moral guideline if you don't take it in the wrong way. Sinead O'Connor actually just became Muslim.
No kidding.
She doesn't say became, and they don't say converted. It's reverted, because that if you're Muslim, you believe that you always were. You just took a second to get back to it, I guess.
Cool.
But I think it's kind of cool for her, because like, I think a lot of people shat on her. And I watched an interview with her, and she wears a hijab now. And I think a lot of she said that she got all these messages and how people were like, you're just conforming to like Eastern or Middle Eastern, whatever, what men want. And she was like, well, like, you are also conforming to a Western, of what Western people want, like with your hair out. Because they were like getting upset by the hijab. And then the second thing was they were upset because, yeah, just because she came Muslim. But I was kind of like, you're born into whatever religion you are. So like, for her, if she's like read it all and then decided, like, fair play. That's like the ultimate choice.
Yeah.
Like, you're an adult, you're a grown person who's been like, I want to do this and I want to wear this. Well, then like, you fucking go ahead. Like, the rest of us were born in, I was born into Catholicism. It's not like I had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, I don't really choose any religion other than I identify as a Catholic because of the guilt. I'm guilty all of the time. I wake up guilty. And I don't even know what I did. I'm like, what did I say something? I go through it all and I go back to sleep. Sleep off this guilt.
Yeah.
But so I definitely identify as Catholic. And I think when you can you under, because it has affected our culture and how we behave and how we interact. But But like, if everybody's given a choice, you wouldn't necessarily, not everybody in Ireland would choose. I'm sure a lot of people would choose no religion, but some people would probably read like stuff about, like, I don't know, if they would read the Quran or whatever, and then be like, oh, or maybe they'd read something, I don't know what the Jewish book is called. What's it called? The Jewish book?
The Torah?
The Torah. Yeah, maybe they'd read the Torah and be like, this is what I want to. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, leave her alone. Like, and, you know, if she wants to wear a hijab, let her wear her hijab.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, she'll figure out a way somehow to be able to please all of the men, because that's dream,
the main thing.
Right?
Also, you know what I just realized? Maybe she didn't just become Muslim. Maybe this was years ago and I just only saw the TikTok. Because you know, you see a TikTok and you think it's news, and then you go and you research it and it's like it's a clip from 10 years ago. So if everybody's listening, like, Katie, you're a bit slow on that. Well, look, I've been in the States for the last 8.5 years,
well,
maybe
the
9 years.
The grand saga of Sinead O'Connor. This just happened.
Sinead O'Connor's great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Right, yeah. She, you know, she came out about the priest before anybody knew.
Yes.
Like years before the scandal came out, because that was like 91 when she did SNL, and then it was 2008 before the priest scandal, like where they were like, well, why do we even call it a scandal? A scandal sounds like he had an affair with a consenting adult. The priest nightmare. I don't know what you would call it, but yeah, that's when all the stories came out about the pedophilia.
Yeah, I feel like it never stops coming out.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that was the first time maybe people took it seriously.
I suppose, but do we take it seriously? I mean, I think it still probably happens on
a
huge scale.
I think that's the first time where people admitted it. Like, I think there's all these stories that were publicized in that. I watched that movie, but
oh my god, I was bawling.
I know. It's, what's it called again?
Spotlight? Is it
Spotlight? Yeah.
At the end when they show all of the different, it
gives me goosebumps.
I was like inconsolable. That's awful. But don't let a drag queen read to your kids, by all means. Because that's what you got to watch out for.
Yeah. Isn't the priest really just in a form of drag? Do you have a bit about this?
I love you. I know. Basically.
Do you have a bit about this?
I maintain that Catholicism is just a sex cult.
I knew you had something like this.
It's fraught with sex, which I feel like is why all this fucked up. I mean, like, you know, there's a difference between sex and, you know, sexual abuse. Obviously, they're not the same thing. But I think that there has been so much sexual abuse within the Catholic Church because of how they treat sex. And also, it's sexy. It's like, you go in there and, like, everyone looks nice. And, like, there's, like, this, like, beautiful, like, soothing music. And, like, it looks like it's set up for you to go and fuck in there. And, like, so my joke is that, you know, when I would go to confession, I would be like a teenage girl and I would have to sit in a wooden box with an incredibly sexually repressed man and talk about all the times a neighbor boy fingered me.
Yeah.
All the while I'm calling him father. Yeah. I'm asking for forgiveness.
Oh,
like,
daddy.
Daddy. Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's,
and
like,
they
just let your priests get married. I mean, it's not like, I want to say that I keep having to add these caveats, but it's like, not like, like, well, I can't get married, I have to go molest the altar boy. But, like, just be normal about sex, and maybe we wouldn't keep having these issues.
Well, if you let, the only reason why Catholicism specifically was trying to spread, so they invested all the money into churches. So that's why you have all those gorgeous Romanesque Gothic churches. That was when that's when they decided that priests could not get married. So the money would not go back to the priest's family and wife. So it's really just a financial issue. And they pretended, I learned this in like art school, and then they pretended that it was, you know, because you're closer to God, but not really. It was more just so then when they die, the money goes back in, they could invest in all these churches and spread Catholicism. I can't even say it. So then fast forward, you have all these who are, I'm sure, lovely priests, but then the bad ones having a haven, because it was a great haven for pedophiles, and then they had their victims literally right beside them. It's crazy. And also then I think for like the thing coming out, I think for like a lot of people in Ireland, like, kids would have told their parents, but they didn't believe them because that was like so crazy. It's so wild.
It's so crazy.
But yeah, just let your priest get married. Problem solved.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be a haven anymore for... Then you'd be like,
I think people would be like, it would change. They'd be like, yeah, I'd love to go if I had like a wholesome family man. Maybe like a, you know?
Yeah,
then it would attract a different clientele.
Yeah, the alternative is just kind of creepy, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then he's giving, like, the priests have to give marriage counseling before you get married. Like, they have to. That's
what
crazy.
The fuck
I know,
is
isn't
this?
That? There's so much. What was the other
on
thing?
On what? I mean, what can they even say?
I don't know. I know that my dad and my stepmom had to go before you get married. But they got married in a civil marriage first before they got married because his annulment wasn't true. Because I guess a divorce takes 5 years, but an annulment takes fucking forever.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's just forever. The other thing as well with Ireland, we were just talking about this last night, but how much it's changed, like, because it was so run by the Catholic Church. That, like, it's only until, like, maybe the late 90s that women were, if they had a baby, that they were, like, put into the laundry. Or maybe, like, the early 90s, but...
What? So, who's, like, putting the baby in the laundry? What did you just say?
Yeah, we put him on a low rinse. Sorry. I'm putting some...
Don't put the baby in the dryer, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You gotta hang him up.
Yeah, yeah, with little pegs on their hands. No,
adorable.
Sorry. So they would... if a woman got pregnant outside of wedlock and she didn't have a husband who was going to marry her... They put her in like a laundromat where I guess women worked and like washed clothes or something. I don't even know what the fucking laundry place is. But and then they would take the baby off them. So the woman was kind of hidden away while she gave birth. But it was your family and the priest who would force you to do this. Like there's stories of women who ran off to England to try to keep their baby. And the priest like hunted her down and brought her back.
What the hell?
And then they take your baby away. So the big...
And do what with it?
The big scandal, the scandal came out recently enough, but the original was that they would give the baby up for adoption to like Irish Americans or Americans in general.
Oh, okay.
But it actually came out like not so long ago, maybe like I don't know, while I was still in the States, that they were killing a lot of the babies. Like if it's not even like...
I knew this was going to end bad.
Yeah.
When you said put the baby in the laundry, I was like, something is amiss. This is not going to end well for the babies.
Yeah. And I don't know if they
it's
like...
It's not going to end well for the washing machine.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We didn't even have washing machines.
Oh yeah. It's true.
But
you have to do...
we're going to wash this baby away.
Get a scrubbing board and just...
Yeah. But I don't even think it was that they intentionally killed. It was just like... malnutrition or they didn't survive. They didn't. So like there was one place where it was like what is it called, the listeners know now and I'm forgetting the word, but like a septic tank, and there when it was, this was just one of these, so there's probably hundreds of these around the country, there was 800 dead baby bones.
Oh my god.
So just like the baby didn't survive, but like it would have survived with a mother at home, like if it wasn't just so crazy to have like a single mother. So I guess like probably just not by feeding, or maybe they did intentionally just not take care of it or whatever, but they were putting all these baby bones in when they opened it.
So like, so they didn't even care about, what's the goal then?
Yeah, I guess.
Just to
avoid
scandal? I mean,
yeah.
Like we're that afraid of scandal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That we
like
will
a fucking
kill
huge
the
scandal
babies.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my.
Or a few years, it was like 800 babies.
But to them, that's not even scandal. That's just like they took care of business. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. Like, man, just be normal. Just be normal about these things. It's
things definitely coming around for sure. But it's just crazy to think that was like in like our lifetime. Like, or, you know, I guess maybe, I don't know when it stopped. But
good Lord.
Yeah. I know that my parents got married because of me. Hello. Hi.
Yeah. My sister.
Yeah.
And then I was just a happy accident.
Yeah. And your parents are still, you know, your parents?
Oh,
still?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
they
never really works out when that happens.
They split up when I was like 5.
Oh,
which
okay.
is
Same.
Why like, yeah, so like when I was with my dad, we would go to evangelical church, and then when I was with my mom, we would sometimes go to mass. You know what else I did, which I figured out later was weird? I used to go to a mega church.
What's a mega church?
In Virginia. Have you heard of like a Joel Osteen?
No.
So they're like these big churches that it basically looked like a mall. Yeah. It looked like a big stadium.
Yeah.
Like a big theater. And they just put on these like really grand.
Just picturing Kanye West on his Sunday.
Kinda, yeah. And they put on these like big grand services, big bands. They had like big TV screens because like you couldn't really see the stage if you're like really far back. This is this huge place, and the pastors are like celebrities.
Jesus.
And they end up like making a bunch of money off of like,
oh, I feel like I've seen these on TikTok.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Where it seems like more like a TED talk, but I guess it's, and then they're like, hallelujah.
Yeah.
What am I watching?
Yeah. I used to get, so it was called McLean Bible Church.
And that was the, with the I can't even say that. Evangelica.
No, that's fun. My stepdad actually brought me there.
It was had so many versions of Christianity.
I know. I've been all over the map.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it's amazing that it didn't completely ruin it for me, but like the mega church was like probably the best experience.
Was there
like
singing
oh yeah,
oh that's fun. Yeah, that's singing, what the Catholics dancing. Need back home, a bit of singing and music and,
yeah. I never really liked the music. It's called praise and worship. That's like the style of music, and it's not great, but they're so into it. God love them. The pastor, his name was Lon Solomon. And he was like a local celebrity.
He sounds like something from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. And I remember he would do like radio spots where he would be like, is this happening in your life? Well, in Psalms 15:12, the Lord says blah, 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 blah. And I remember he would close out the ad with, he would say, not a sermon, just a thought.
Yeah.
Because like they all kind of, I think a lot of them try and kind of toe the line between secularism and religion, because like what they're doing is really messed up.
Yeah.
Like they're using people's faith to make money.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and I think that's why it was like so fun, because it's like you go in there and like you feel
they're performers.
Good.
It's like a stand-up comedian.
He really was. And people feel good giving money to these places.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you never stop for a second. You're like, why is there a McDonald's in my church? This is insane. Yeah,
pray and have a nugget.
Yeah, we had a McDonald's and a Starbucks.
Oh, now the Starbucks, I completely understand.
Yeah, right.
Bit of coffee on
Sunday morning.
Church.
Come on now.
Yeah, nuggets and coffee.
Yeah, if I'm gonna be catching the spirit, I need a little energy.
Now,
yeah.
Starbucks tea is good too. You know, they usually double bag it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy schmancy.
Yeah, they're like, we know you guys like it strong. We should wrap it up because I know Leland has to do his. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. I've been looking at the camera. Hello. What's up, everybody?
Me neither, but that's fine. We're we're figuring out this studio setup.
It's lovely. You can follow me at It's Jess Feeney OK on TikTok and Instagram.
And you don't have a podcast yet. You were saying that.
No, but there's going to be stuff in the works. So just follow my Instagram. I'm working on some stuff. I don't want to give it away.
Okay, exciting.
The podcast definitely on the list. And also maybe a little YouTube show.
Do you still do music comedy as well? I feel like I haven't seen you do that in a while.
It kind of got beaten out of me.
Okay.
But I can.
I love music comedy.
I can.
I love I can it. Do it's it. So much fun. I'm like, that's a performance.
Yeah.
So for the listeners, please sign up the Patreon /TheShift Podcast. I always find it too hard. There's too many S's. I can't do it. So please, because I have two solo episodes up there. And the episodes are always up early. And you can pay what you want. Don't go and see, it says like $100. No, that's just how much money it's making.
$100.
Exactly. It is $100. No, it's pay what you want. And then please rate, review. And if you haven't listened to I'll Do It Myself, my album, please do. And then I'm just testing it out with the natural light. So if you were like, I don't like the lighting today, that's fine. We're just trying it out to see if it's better. I can always go back to the other way. So yeah, let me know what you guys think. But other than that, love yous all, especially the Patreon heads. You guys are the best. And talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.